And I'm very pleased because this morning I have May Wei Lim on the phone. She is a local classical jazz and blues musician playing the piano and flute. She is the director of local jazz sensation Swingphonia, for which she writes all her own arrangements as well as original compositions. And May is involved in endeavours and performances of all kinds. And I'm very pleased to welcome her to 2MVR today. Good morning, May.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, you're a busy girl. I know you have an exciting concert coming up this weekend in Sawtelle, but first of all, can you tell us a little bit about your background in music?
Oh, surely, yes. I was born in London in the UK, and I was kind of introduced into piano lessons when I was seven, not necessarily of my own choice. As you know, sort of children sometimes when they're of that age, they don't really know what they want to do.
There aren't many seven-year-olds who are desperate to play a piano, no.
However, being an obliging and very traditional sort of Asian background family, I just did what I was told, and music was it, actually. After being introduced to the piano lessons at seven, I haven't looked back since. That's just my one pride and joy and my big love.
Right, but that started off in the UK.
It did, yes. I then moved with my parents over to Singapore and then came back again to the UK and joined up. My piano teacher was a great mentor, and she suggested I joined as a junior exhibitioner at the Royal Academy of Music, where I then went on to do my degree there.
Right, so that would be a fabulous place to do your studies, wouldn't it?
Oh, can I just say, Kerry, really, it was one of the most exciting times of my life. Perhaps I was even too young to truly appreciate how fulfilling it was then. But really, all we did was sort of run around from practice room to practice room. And for me, particularly, I'm a very good sight reader, so that was my thing. So I used to sort of grab musicians, and we'd go running off and just read through repertoire. It was so exciting. Can you believe that was my thrill?
Tragic but true. No, but lucky for us, actually, because now we have the end product here in Australia. So how did you end up in Australia?
Actually, it was kind of random. My partner and I travelled extensively everywhere, really. And it was absolute fluke, but my mother at the time had sisters living in Tasmania. And she said, oh, May, you have to go and visit my sisters. And so it was kind of a family obligation that I had to, you know, if I was passing through Australia, I'd go to Tasmania. And then we stepped off the plane, and I don't know if you've ever been to Hobart, but it's a very stunning place with sandstone buildings. Mm. It's very pretty. It's just one of those places that people go on holiday to, even from other, you know, parts of Australia, and fall in love with. And I just sat there, and I just thought, wow, I don't want to leave this place.
Wow.
That was it. So I kind of didn't. It was a very strange way of ending up there, but I stayed, really.
And after spending some time in Singapore, which is probably the stickiest place in the world.
Sticky, and then... yes. I don't remember it, but I mustn't have been very good with the piano there because my hands are quite sweaty. So.
Yes, and then ending up in Tasmania.
That's right, yes. Mm. And then since then, I've also lived in Sydney and then ended up in the Coast Coast region.
Right, right, which is probably a good compromise, actually.
I think so. Yes. It worked very well.
Now, you seem to have the best of both worlds, with one foot in the classical camp and one in the jazz and blues. So do you have a favourite?
I don't. I truly love music of all types, truly of all types. And I just need different kind of techniques when I'm playing with either. But more important really is passion. So I feel that I express myself well in both genres. But I am predominantly a classical pianist only because, you know, that's what I was drilled in, you know, since I was seven.
Yes.
My jazz and blues is self-taught, actually. I've kind of developed those skills.
Right.
It's very freeing. And funnily enough, a lot of classically trained musicians find it hard to cross over, only because, you know, it takes such kind of different skills and a sense of freedom, which in classical regimes isn't kind of allowed in
no.
a sense. You know, you have
frowned
to
upon
exactly the right way and precisely, and all. So it's very confronting in a way if you are allowed to suddenly do anything you fancy, because you tend to feel insecure and think, well, I don't know if this is correct, or and the answer is there is no correct in a sense. It's just your commitment to the music, which works or doesn't work.
Mm. Now, you teach music too, don't you?
I do. I have a few private students, yes, that's right. But minimal, only because, again, as perhaps people who do know me know, that I'm a very passionate person. I tend to get very enthused and excited, so sometimes lessons go on for 2 or 3 hours, so I just couldn't, I don't think I could cope with more than 1 or 2 students a day. It would kill me, probably.
And with music, as you say, the passion is so important. Do you find that you can just see in a student whether they have it or not, whether their ability is there but they've got the passion?
Oh, absolutely. It's really apparent, even from an early age. You can tell if someone just loves it. You see their little eyes light up and their faces, you know, beam, and you know if they just have, first of all, the pleasure, and then secondly, the understanding of the, you know, concept you're trying to get across, even if they're not necessarily very technical concepts. Still, I guess it's up to the teacher to try and explain things in a way that, you know, a young child would understand. Yeah, but absolutely, you can tell. And there are a lot of, mature students who are also very, very passionate, who didn't necessarily get the chance when they were younger to learn, or they might even have got the chance but just didn't really, you know, take to it then or understand. And now, actually, I'm coming across quite a few mature age students who love it and have heaps of talent, and so I think it's never too late.
Oh, good.
One of my students, I won't name her, but she's about 70 years old and she's really talented.
Wow.
She's on her grade 3. It's never too late, that's my point.
Yeah, yeah. So there's hope for us all yet. That's
absolutely
good.
Yes.
Now, you obviously love performing music yourself, but what do you enjoy about directing other musicians?
Well, I think it's just being able to give and take. It's because I'm a very strong musical personality, as people know. But it's really nice to be able to work with people and be taught other things in turn. Sometimes I don't necessarily think of things, and things just crop up in rehearsals or in performances. And other people's, you know, input is really important, really, to create. And I love working, for example, with my jazz choir Swingphonia, because they give me so much energy back. Often as a soloist, you know, it's only kind of up to you to provide all that, you know, intrigue and excitement. But love standing in front of 40 odd people just throwing it all back at me is really exciting.
Right, so it's a real team effort. Now, they haven't been going that long, have they, Swingphonia?
No, they're only just over a year old that we started up for the Bellingen Jazz Festival last year, as in 2000, and where are we now? 11. And so we kind of started rehearsals about maybe May or June last year, perhaps, can't remember exactly. But we're roughly a year old now. And what I think is amazing, really, apart from the fact that they enjoy it, is that people out there enjoy it. We've been having about 300 people in our audience each time.
Wow, that is impressive.
In this area, which, you know, where there's kind of not that many people around, obviously that kind of music is really appealing to the local masses.
Yes. And they went to the Ice Stedford and did very well.
They did. They came first in their category. They were very excited. But more important than the winning was really just showing people that, you know, we can do things ourselves. You know, they're my own arrangements, and they work very hard. They memorise all their pieces. So they work very, very hard. So well-deserved success, I believe.
Yes. So they've just been at the Bellingen Jazz Festival. When's the next opportunity to see Swingphonia?
They've got a show coming up on November the 25th, and that will be at the Coffs Ex Services Club. And we've called it the Feeling Good Show, to name our little shows. So that's a hint as to what song we might be featuring, amongst others, including some world premieres I'll also drop in. some original compositions that I'll be introducing. Yes, it's a world first, so come along, everybody.
Oh, lovely. Now, before we get to what you're doing this weekend, now you were actually an accomplished jazz singer too until you experienced medical problems. Can you tell us a bit about that, May?
Yes. Well, I unfortunately was stricken with a mild thyroid cancer. So unfortunately, I had to have a double operation to remove my thyroid, which unfortunately incurred, apart from physical stress, also emotional and psychological stress. So actually I lost my voice, even my speaking voice, for a while.
And for a singer, it's like a double whammy, isn't it?
Oh, that was very, very distressing. Mm. Very shocking. One, because, you know, you think you're going to live forever, don't you, suddenly? Mm. And then something happens, you think, wow, you know, like everything's so tangible, really. So, but anyway, I recouped. I went to a speech pathologist, and my speaking voice came back, and then got checked out, and then and now my singing voice has returned. Well, I say returned; it has returned, but only after lots of hard work, really. And yes, I had to climb a few mountains and hills to get there, but it's working beautifully now. So I'm actually even going to be putting on a jazz singing and piano show in November, just of my own, really. So that will be another world first,
yes,
I guess.
That's impressive. And I believe that you attribute some of your voice coming back to snooker.
Yes, that's one of the reasons. That's just a stretch thing. It was a physical and, as I say, thing that I was sort of pulling my chin down. I guess I thought that I was protecting my neck, you know. It's just a funny thing, isn't it, really? But then with snooker, I've been stretching out because I've had to, because that's how you play snooker. And then that, coupled with lots of vocal exercise and stuff, has stretched everything back again. So I'm very excited.
You're a surprise package, mate.
But an exciting one, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, definitely. And your speaking voice has definitely come back. You're fine.
There's no stopping me, I'm afraid.
Now, you have another exciting collaboration happening this weekend. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, I first met Claudia Douglas, the cellist, when she was living in this area a couple of years ago. Maybe it was almost 3 years ago now. And I happened to meet her, and as is wont with musicians of my caliber, we tend to, you know, group together just to play together because, you know, opportunities are few and far between to play with people of your, you know, of your ilk. So we got together and loved it immediately. We just did, you know, like how you click with other musicians, and we loved it. So we put on a recital then, so that must have been something like December 2009, and then she's moved out of the area but came floating back through just briefly, and so we've decided again to collaborate with a beautiful recital of cello and piano music this Sunday.
And where's that going to be?
Oh, that's going to be at the Sawtell RSL in the Princess Room, and at 2 p.m. this Sunday.
All right.
And children are free. And again, because Claudia and I both are into encouraging children to be, you know, taken and drifted away by classical music, so we encourage all children to come along and enjoy themselves, really. It is free. I'm talking children, you know, 18-year-old children will do.
Just get them in there.
Students, the point is just to come along and experience this kind of calibre of playing, you know, here, really,
yes,
rather than having to travel all the way to Sydney or who knows where else. You know, it's here. So come and enjoy it.
Right. And what's Claudia's background?
She was born in Sydney, I believe, and grew up in the Blue Mountains, where she is again now based. As I said, she lived here for a little while. She went to the New South Wales Conservatorium High School, and I believe she studied cello with Cedric Ashton. She's also quite a good pianist, second study, and she studied piano as well. But I believe her main influences were Richard Gill, as we all know, and the eminent Australian cellist David Pereira. And she later studied with David Pereira as well.
Fantastic. So. All right. Well, this sounds like a wonderful opportunity. Now, I have some of the music here that you've recorded with Claudia.
Yes.
And this particular track is The Swan. So would you like to introduce this for us and tell us about it?
Yes, of course. The Swan is one of the main featured items in Saint-Saëns, Camille Saint-Saëns' orchestral work, Carnival of the Animals. And in Carnival of the Animals, various instruments are used to depict the characters and personalities of various instruments. And this one is, I guess, one of the most famous ever of cello pieces, because it depicts so beautifully the calm, graceful sliding and gliding of the swan, accompanied by piano, rippling in the background as little waves.
Oh, beautiful. Well, Mei Wei Lim, thank you very much for joining us on 2MVR this morning. Good luck with your concert, and we're looking forward to actually having you and your Swingphonia ensemble in the studio here at some time. We're going to work that out, aren't we?
That would be wonderful.
Yes.
They are keen to come down and show you what they can do live. So
fantastic.
I'd love to. And thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much, Mei Wei Lim.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. He's a swan. Thank you. rather delicious, wasn't it? That was May Wei Lim and Claudia Douglas, and you can hear them perform at Sawtelle RSL this Sunday at 2 p.m. Tickets are $15. Children are free. We'll also be welcoming into the studio at 10 o'clock Annie Seaton, who is a local author, and she'll actually be coming into the studios at Tooinga. So, very busy morning, goodness me. You're listening to 2MVR 105.9 FM with me, Kerry Robel. This is the Friday Frolic with a big dollop of chat room. If you're